The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Being proactive about improving your health can seem like a big job. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I'd like to share my health secrets to better health. The first step is to remove metabolic blockages caused by toxins. Next is to infuse organic whole food nutrients to help repair and replenish organ function. You'll be amazed at how simple and effective this is when using my professional strength, herbal organ cleanses, and body foundation food mix. To order or for a free product catalog, call Apothecary Herbs now, 866-229-3663, online, thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order my organ cleanses and body food mix and be empowered, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. 2-3-2-2-9-3-6-6-3. Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We are here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. So glad you've joined us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. We are going to be talking about the power of some specific plants for the first section of the show, and you'll be amazed how powerful that makes you. We may touch on the two other topics, the Dr. Mom concept that people have been asking about, and also dementia on the rise and what's up with that. So hopefully we fit all that in, plus our quack report. But before we get to that, big salute and semper fi, our righteous men and women in uniform, lifting them all up in prayer, as well as all of this nation, everybody, you and I, on this soil, asking God to help us not be a nation divided, because it is nation divided, same like the house divided can't stand. So we gotta fix that, and we're going to need some help to do it. I did bring my devotional today. It's from 1 Corinthians 13 and Ephesians 3, and it goes like this. Be still in the light of my presence while I communicate love with you. There is no force in the universe as powerful as my love. You are constantly aware of limitations, your own and others, but there is no limit to my love. It fills all the space, all the time, and eternity. Now you see through a glass darkly, but someday you will see me face to face, and when then you will be able to experience fully how wide and long and high and deep my love is for you. If you were to experience that now, you would be overwhelmed to the point of feeling crushed. But you have an eternity ahead of you, absolutely guaranteed, during which you can enjoy my presence in unrestricted ecstasy. For now, the knowledge of my loving presence is sufficient to carry you through each day. Amen to that. I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face. Hope you do too. Find salvation through the Lord, because that is the way. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. Alrighty, first up in the quacker. Apparently, we have some neuroscientists that are giving us a warning that there's some new brain disorders, products of the digital age, no less. Yep, cognitive neuroscientists are saying that when we spend a lot of time in front of these screens, it's changing the way we read and comprehend. They said the internet browsing has actually shortened our attention spans and our patience. They said it's doing a number on our memories, and they also pointed out one of the five conditions. I won't read all five of them, but one of them is tech phobia. So there's a list of phobias, and they added one in 2012. It's called no mobile phobia. So in other words, you don't have your mobile phone. That's a fear people have. So in the UK, they did a survey. They said 73% of respondents felt panicked if they misplaced their phone. And 14% said their panic spiraled to desperation over a device. Well, just, you know, I can understand that if you make that phone everything. You know, that's your God. That's your bank. That's your social connection. If you're making that phone your everything, then, yeah, you're going to be panicked. Not a good thing. All right, last but not least in the quack report, doctors have been caught over-prescribing drugs for the elderly because they're taking profits over ethics. This over-prescribing of medications for the older folks been a problem for a while, but there's evidence it's escalating, it's growing. This is a new analysis that was published in the Journal of American Medical Association Internal Medicine issue. And it says that it's time for everybody to take a close look at what their elderly parents may be taking as medicines. This is particularly true when older people are prescribed psychotic drugs. The number of Americans that are retired that are taking three psychotic drugs has jumped twofold between 2004 and 2013. So almost half of these people didn't have a mental health-related diagnosis on their record. So analysis looked at data from doctor's office visits, looking at people age 65 and older who were prescribed at least three sleep, psychotic, and pain medicines. And these visits increased by 150%, and the study suggested that it was due to prescribing multiple meds. It brought the patients in a lot more frequently because they were having issues, side effects. Last year, it also revealed that slightly more than half the antidepressant prescriptions written in the last 10 years in Canada were for depression. So that begs to ask, what about the rest of them? What were they written for? Doctors hand out these pills for everything from any minor annoyance or illness, including back pain, panic disorder, insomnia, and fibromyalgia. And the other thing that the research did say is doctors can sometimes get kickbacks from pharmaceutical companies to push their drugs for off-label usage, and the temptation of this big money, it seems to be overriding the doctor's ethics of well-being for their patients. Well, then that just changes everything, doesn't it? Behavior from the medical doctors that do that. Well, your profession just went from medical doctor to street drug dealer. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Absolutely. Okay. We're going to talk about the power of some plants, and it's important because that gives you power. Everybody wants to feel empowered these days, right? Right? You get excited when you take some power back for yourself. Okay, so people may not be aware that plants offer unique benefits. The pharmaceutical companies have failed to actually duplicate them. So plants have chemical components that are called photo or phytochemicals, and they also have flavonoids. So when we eat herbs or foods that have these nutrients in them, the benefits are tremendous. So one particular flavonoid identified was called Bay E colon flavonoid, and it has powerful benefits like anti-inflammatory action, anti-cancer protection, neurological protection, antimicrobial and cardiovascular protection. So we're going to take a look at, you know, what the average person can do to use these plant sources with these powerful flavonoids. Well, let's look at some flavonoid knowledge for a minute, because Bay E colon flavonoid, it's a phytochemical, a type of flavonoid or flavone that often is taken from roots and leaves from foods and herbs. So this Bay E colon flavonoid helps to regulate signals on a cellular level. So why is that important? Well, it has the power to modify proteins with enzymes called kinase cascade. So these are changes in proteins that can offer functional changes. And scientific medicine has been studying Bay E colon in plants for several decades, and they've learned that it has the potential to reverse or prevent diseases. That's huge. So that in itself is power for you. So for instance, the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the National Institutes of Health, they published a study in December 2012, and it stated that Bay E colon flavonoid, it's an intriguing phytochemical. They said, quote, has an intriguing therapeutic phytochemical for destroying cancer, end of quote. So they recognize that. So certain foods and herbs with these flavonoids offer people an option to the standard medical cancer treatments or chemotherapy and surgery, right? So this particular report stated that the plants with Bay E colon on it, this flavonoid, show, quote, potent activity against pancreatic cancer. So there you go. They also reported that the flavonoids are very effective with regards to other diseases like glaucoma, cardiovascular disease, liver disease, diabetes, and several internal medical disorders. Well, let's look at this plant power for a minute. So if you find high concentrations of Bay E colon flavonoid in organically grown vegetables and fruits, tap into that. Also, you're going to find it in green tea, dark chocolate, and, of course, some herbs. But, of course, your herbs are going to contain the most potent version of Bay E colon flavonoid. Your medicinal herbs will always have more potency there because herbs tend to be bitter. They have more of the flavonoids. And tannins and things like that. And it tends to be, you know, of a taste that you wouldn't eat a lot of it because it's so potent. So, and that's the reason. You just need a little bit. All right, let's look at some herbs with the Bay E colon flavonoid in there. Skullcap herb, milk thistle, dandelion root, hawthorn berries, and plantain leaf are just a few of them. Let's look at the skullcap real quick. Skullcap, really interesting herb. There are different varieties grown throughout the world, but I'm going to refer to the American species. And this variety of skullcap has been typically used for nervous system issues. And the common name was given due to the shape of the flower that looks like a cap. And where do you
wear a cap. Well, you wear it on your head, your skull. Oh, there you go, skull cap. Now, other names for the skull cap are mad dog and mad weed, because it was said to cure canine rabies. So here are some of the other conditions skull cap has been used for over the centuries. Cholera, convulsions, tetanus, tremors, delirium, insomnia, hysteria, neuralgia, which is nerve numbness and tingling, Parkinson's disease, skin nerve sensitivity, diuretics, and laxatives. So that makes sense that if it was used for rabies, you know, because all those conditions there, you know, reflect central nervous system issues. All right, so the plant's chemistry is showing us that it offers antibacterial protection, but the flavonoids are the real powerhouse in skullcap. And so the flavonoids offer antispasmodic action and a sedative action, but they don't work like pharmaceutical narcotics, okay? So a relaxed feeling is offered, but without affecting cognitive, you know, thought, coordination, abilities, you know, so, you know, you're not, you know, disabled when you're taking it. Well, let's move to the milk thistle. I love milk thistle. Milk thistle, one of my favorite herbs, and its common name is due to the milky substance in the plant. So if you plant milk thistle in your garden, if you got an herb garden going on, it'll grow over 10 feet high. So just be ready for that. It's been indigenous to the Middle East, but it's cultivated all over the world. And scientific studies have shown milk thistle to improve the production of milk for lactating mothers. Now, the flavonoids in the plant are substantial. One in particular, of course, you've heard me mention it before, is silymarin, which is scientifically known to assist the liver and prevent liver damage and disease. So milk thistle is an antioxidant, and it will inhibit enzymes that lend themselves to inviting metabolic cell damage or to damage liver cells. So therefore, milk thistle has been successfully used for the following conditions: cirrhosis of the liver, chronic hepatitis, fatty liver, inflammatory skin conditions, and jaundice. So nearly every pharmacy, if you go to Europe, every pharmacy in Europe offers a milk thistle extract, and they dispense it for the prevention as well as to treat diseases. So milk thistle has no side effects, and it can be used for long periods of time. So scientific studies compare milk thistle to having more antioxidants than vitamin E. And this could explain why milk thistle is known for regenerating the liver. So in November in 2007, researchers at the University of California, Irvine, discovered the protective benefits of milk thistle for the treatment of hepatology-type diseases. That's liver disease. So Dr. Keiku Hu and his colleagues published their findings in the World Journal of Gastroenterology, and they said that milk thistle also helps fight liver cancer. So the report specifically stated that milk thistle reduces cancer cell production and spreading, encouraged cancer cell suicide, and altered the structure of the cancer cell to prohibit replication. Ooh, I like a milk thistle. But, hey, if you pair it with some dandelion, ooh, what a super duo that is. Let's get to the dandelion then. So in the last few years, you know, dandelion root's been in the spotlight. In 2012, Windsor University Medical Hospital in Quebec, Canada, discovered the cancer-fighting power of dandelion root by accident. So their research is online. You can look it up. And they claim that dandelion root kills all known cancer cells. So the flavonoids in dandelion root make cancer cells commit suicide without harming healthy cells. So dandelion is a member of the sunflower family. It's indigenous to Western Europe and the Mediterranean. But due to the plant's ability to cultivate by wind currents, scientists really can't say the sure, definite origins of dandelion. So it does grow all over the world, though, and it does grow in most climates. So records of dandelion's medicinal use were revealed in the 10th century writings of Arabian physicians. The Arabian Peninsula. So they wrote of the plant being a remedy for disorders. So the common name for this plant is from the French, who thought the leaf of the dandelion looked like a lion's tooth, therefore dandelion. There you go, dandelion. So the ancient use for dandelion root was for, you know, using it as a laxative and a diuretic, obviously for liver disorders and spleen disorders. They also used it for heartburn, rheumatism, gout, and eczema. But modern discoveries of the benefits of dandelion root are that it works as a blood purifier, and it helps the kidneys and the pancreas. It also helps reduce bowel transit time, absorbs toxins from the bowel, balances intestinal flora, removes inflammatory bowel disease, and it does this with flavonoids that soothe while removing the toxins which irritate. So one other important element is that dandelion root contains an important and balanced mineral profile. So this is an excellent herb to help balance electrolytes. So dandelion. All right, the next herb is a hawthorn berry. So American settlers would use hawthorn berries in their marmalades and jellies. However, hawthorn berries have always been an herbalist's favorite herb for heart tonics. So the hawthorn berry shrub is indigenous to Europe and the Mediterranean and Africa, where they actually added hawthorn sometimes to ground flour. So we read of hawthorn's greatness in 90 AD in the writings of the Greek physician Dioscorides. You read about that. And you're going to find hawthorn berry bushes on Jerusalem's Mount of Olives. So over the centuries, hawthorn has been used for blood pressure problems, rapid heartbeat, arrhythmia, angina, arterial sclerosis, and rheumatism. Now, scientific medicine, like the 2008 study that was done by the Center for Advanced Health, has shown hawthorn works like a vasodilator, often performing better than the prescription drugs. So the benefits of hawthorn come from the flavonoids that dilate blood vessels, you know, coronary arteries, and help to reduce blood pressure and the strain on the heart muscle. All right, and so then plantain. Plantain is also on the list, and I think that is our final herb on our list for now. So the plantain plant seems to be kind of in the same boat as the dandelion with regards to it being regarded as an unwanted yard weed. But there's a long history of plantain use, both inside and outside the body. Now, the Native Americans showed the settlers how to use plantain externally for poisonous rashes and bites, and it was often used inside the body to soothe the digestive tract and stimulate the immune system. So plantain has been used for snake bites, poison ivy, diarrhea, dysentery, inflammatory bowel disease, hemorrhoids, cancer of the colon and breast cancer, and thrush, which is a yeasty rash. I don't know. If you're a woman, you know about that. So, you know, here we are. Where are we? We're on the road to empowerment. That's where we are. So the ancient people may not have known about the flavonoids in medicinal plants, but they knew what plants helped with certain conditions. And often in ancient writings, you'll see a man knew what herbs and berries not to use by observing what animals avoided. And thousands of years of trial and error are essentially the world's biggest and longest clinical trial on these plants. Empirical history, it shouldn't be dismissed as useless. And folk medicine knowledge was passed down if it was beneficial. So today, science is discovering the chemistry behind the plant's benefits in hopes of making drugs. Now, in May 2015, English scientists, in desperation to fight hospital superbugs, they went to the ancient medieval archives to dig up an antibacterial recipe. They figured the ancients had to know something. And so they found this 1,000-year-old Viking potion that was translated into English. The text guaranteed their concoction would vanquish whatever ails you. So after going on the equivalent of a scavenger hunt to gather all the ingredients and the tools, they made this potion. So according to the medical staff, they have no idea how this potion works, like an antibiotic. And this is what they said. When we tested the potion, it showed positive against MRSA, and we were just blown away. End of quote. Yeah. Ancients knew some things, huh? So this experiment should, you know, speak volumes to anyone who is skeptical about medicinal plants and their healing power, because it just confirms God can't lie. He said herbs are here for the healing of the nations and the service of man. If you haven't read it, it's in Revelations 22:2 and Psalms 104:14. So what we're doing, what are we doing? Say it with me. We're taking control. We're taking the control back. So we have every right to use medicinal herbs as instructed by our Creator. Using herbs to balance and heal the body has been the world's best kept secret for over 100 years. It's time we stand up, take our right back, you know, to be healthy and protect our rights. We got to do that. So when I went to medical school or herbal school, I realized that the fastest way to reduce risk to internal medicine disorders is to cleanse away the toxins creating the risk and put organic nutrition back in. So this is the cleanse and nourish approach, which isn't new, but we lost our way and we have to get back to that. So if you're interested in removing toxins, boosting the immune system, and using plants with special flavonoids for better health, then you want to call the experts. You want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. The international number is 704-885-0277. 704-885-0277. Of course, the website, you can get on there and learn a lot. ThePowerHerbs.com. ThePowerHerbs.com. That puts the power back in your hands. And, you know, if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs, and that's where your healthcare options just became endless. So give them a call. Get a free catalog. Also, today is the last day of the 10% off on the heart formulas under the heart and cardio category. This is Heart Health Month, February, so they had the 10% off special, so do take advantage of that. And we got to take a break, so we'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't
trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, and we're going to shift gears here. And since, you know, the quack report we were hearing about, you know, this over-prescription for the elderly on pain medicines, antipsychotic drugs, and so forth and so on, I thought, well, let's just tap into that topic of, you know, is dementia really drug-induced these days? Ever ask yourself that? Well, we've been told, you know, the United States has an epidemic of dementia. And what constitutes an epidemic? Well, apparently, 5 million Americans that need to be on these drugs, that constitutes an epidemic, apparently. So if this is accurate, then it's kind of an outrageous percentage of people not being able to function, right? So medicine is boasting that they expect much higher rates of Americans that are living longer to actually lose their minds. Eventually, they're expecting you to do that. However, what good is living longer if you don't have your cognitive functions? So what could be causing this, and is it preventable? We're going to find out. We're going to define dementia. According to InsideDementia.com, the word dementia is a term used to describe a broad category of diseases due to nerve cell malfunction. Apparently, there's like 100 different forms of dementia. This includes Parkinson's, vascular dementia, also known as stroke, Alzheimer's, and then there's some mixed dementia, like where it's 45% of the cases, it's a combination of Alzheimer's and another type of dementia. So when our brain nerve cells begin to die or malfunction, there are changes in our memory, our behavior, our ability to concentrate, our capability to learn things. And if the damage continues and is severe enough, brain nerve cell death can also affect the individual's ability to carry out basic body functions like grooming, walking, and even swallowing. So prion disease, that mad cow, may also fall into this category. And we're told that Alzheimer's disease is the most common diagnosis in about 80% of the cases. So the term dementia is Latin, and it began to be used in 50 BC. It means being out of your mind. Okay? All right, let's look at the statistics. About 40% of the dementia cases are happening to people under the age of 65. And a majority of these cases, regardless of age, are happening to females. So why do women have a 10 to 20% greater risk of dementia over the men? Well, we're also told that 1 in 11 people over 65 will have some form of dementia. So if you're female, you're over the age of 65, the statistics are saying 1 in 6 of you are going to have dementia. According to InsideDementia.com, they said 35 million Americans with dementia in 2010, but they expect to have 65 million by 2030. 115 million by 2050. Well, I can tell modern medicine doesn't plan to stop that bus. No. So what could be driving these outrageously high projections? Well, the University of Michigan states that all forms of dementia on the rise. Well, let's look at dementia. We're told health authorities that 1 in 3 Americans over the age of 65 will die from dementia. So apparently dementia is the 5th leading cause of death in the U.S. now. So it also is a category of disease medicine has no effective treatments for. So all the medicine, all it can do is slow down a symptom of development, but the disease will progress. All right, let's look at a map. According to the Alzheimer's Association, they have this map, and they projected the rates of dementia in the U.S. into 2025. Okay, and so their U.S. map is showing that a higher majority of these cases, like 82% to 127%, of the dementia cases are going to occur in the northwest states of Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and Colorado. Well, I know the reason for that. Yep. Land management's out there, BLM. I'm being facetious, but you get it. The second worst areas, according to the map, 50 to 81% occur in the southwest and the south, central, and southern parts of the U.S. So the central interior and the northeast seem to be below 25% percentile for the occurrence of dementia. You got to ask yourself what's up with that. All right, let's look. That's a projection map. That's, you know, what they're projecting. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, do they have plans to help that along somehow? Well, let's look at the medicine's explanation. Modern medicine says they expect most people as they age to develop some form of dementia. They equate the disease with old age. However, they also tell us other causes like genetics, head injury, heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, obesity, smoking, and surprisingly, low education could be the cause for dementia. They say, according to scientific medicine, if you are someone that is of a low level of education, that you are someone with lower brain development. So that's the first time I've ever heard of brain dysfunction can be due to a lack of higher learning, you know. So we are told that, you know, there are, you know, no significant tests that conclusively determine if someone has Alzheimer's. It's the doctor's educated guess. Yep. The best a physician can do is say on the record probable Alzheimer's disease because there's no definitive test for it. So that's what's going in the patient record. They typically do a process of elimination. They'll make sure, you know, it's not classified as depression or trauma or an infection or thyroid malfunction. tumors or nutritional deficiencies, you know, they'll do a process of elimination and rule those out, and then probable Alzheimer's gets in the record, and until you wind up typically in another category. Okay, now we're told that the dementia issue has a hitchhike of problems associated with it. There's little other disorders that come along. With a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, there are other problems that tend to crop up, like vision problems, like sleep apnea, insulin issues, and patients with diabetes and sleep apnea have a greater risk of Alzheimer's, according to medical science. Now, that was interesting to me. You know, do you know anybody with sleep apnea? Diabetes, you know, check the family tree and see if you see also, you know, dementia issues in there. Well, let's look at what's going on with our taxpayer money. Americans are paying for Alzheimer's research. We're paying $580 million through the National Institute of Health. And let me give you a comparison. The taxpayer money going to cancer research is $6 billion. And $4 billion to heart disease. So what they typically come up with in the halls of science for new treatments to treat the symptoms of disease, you know, they're not about curing it. It's just, let's come up with new treatments for the symptoms. That's how that works. So let's look at the possible causes. So there are a lot of explanations why people may appear senile or to have dementia symptoms. We should be careful to evaluate all the possibilities, and some of them could be right under your nose. We can't rely on healthcare professionals to admit that some prescription medications and over-the-counter drugs could be the culprit for a vast majority of the dementia happening today. And in some cases, medications are now available, as I said, over-the-counter. You don't need a prescription. So the next question is, does medicine already know that certain types of medicines that are out on the market are causing damage to the brain, producing dementia? And the answer is yes. Here is a quote from Noel Campbell, a pharmacist. He says, we have found that if you're taking an anticholinergic drug, significantly increases your risk of developing cognitive impairment. Taking two of these drugs doubles your risk. This is very significant and already known risk to the American Medical Association, and now you, the public. So in a vast majority of cases, the pain medicines are causing this long-term damage to the brain. Other products also causing similar damage are your insomnia medications, cardiovascular drugs, allergy medicines, and drugs for incontinence. And these would be a class of drugs known as what Noel Campbell called them, anticholinergics. And they block the acetylcholine, which is a brain transmitter. So let me read you this quote from Malaz Bustani. He's a medical doctor at the School of Medicine, IU School of Medicine. He says, simply put, we've confirmed that anticholinergic drugs can cause or worsen cognitive impairment, which involves gradual memory loss. End of quote. Well, so let's look at some of the common drugs. You may know a few people on this. Here are some of them that Americans are taking fairly regularly every day that are pretty much destroying their neurotransmitters and brain cells. Benadryl for allergy symptoms, and we got allergies, and the season's already started here in North Carolina. The trees are blooming, the trees are budding, and people are starting to react. So allergy season's here. Benadryl, though, is on the list. Dramamine for motion sickness, Excedrin PM, Nitol for sleep, Somanex for sleep, Tylenol PM for sleep, Unisom for sleep, Paxil for depression. It's also for obsessive compulsive disorders. Detrol, which is for overactive bladders for urgency issues, as well as Demerol, which is a pain and sleep medication, and, well, we already said Paxil. So those are the common things that people are on and is really not doing them any favors. So this is just really the tip of the iceberg. There are a lot of drugs for things like arrhythmias, drugs for histamine, antihistamines, antispasmodic drugs, anti-Parkinson's convulsant drugs, muscle relaxants, tetracycline type of drugs for depression, antidepressants. So if you want a full list of these drugs that are just totally putting people at higher risk of dementia type symptoms, you want to go to it's called virginiagiretics.org. That's VirginiaGiretics.org. Now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you get hot links like this all the time, so you can kind of protect yourself and your family and friends out there. And our newsletters at thepowerherbs.com do not have a subscription price, so they're free. So you can sign up today and get your newsletter with this kind of stuff each and every week. The American Survival newsletter goes out on Tuesdays, and the Health Quest goes out on Friday, so sign up. If you have email, you can get these newsletters, because that is how they're delivered. All right, let's look at some other side effects of the anticholinergic drugs that offer you cognitive impairment and side effects. Some of the other side effects of these drugs are you have dry mouth and a dry nose. You don't sweat very much. You could be constipated, feel dizzy or drowsy, unsteady on your feet, which is really not cool for elderly people, right? Headache, difficulty urinating, visual impairment like glaucoma, goodness, disorientation, difficulty swallowing, delirium, fatigue, high blood pressure, breathing difficulties, convulsions, behavioral changes, hallucinations, severe muscle weakness, skin problems, and slurred speech. Man, if you got slurred speech and you're over 65, people are going to assume you had a stroke. Or you're drunk. You know? So based on the Alzheimer's Association map that we talked about and this drug-induced factor for dementia, we could conclude that certain areas of the country may be more disposed to depression and are on these drugs. Other areas may be more disposed to severe allergies and are on these drugs. And they're destroying their brain cells, causing cognitive problems. So we can also ascertain that people with sleep, vision, heart, and insulin problems are on medicines that are not promoting their promoting cognitive decline, basically. Women seem to be more prone to anxiety, and these medicines are going to also promote dementia for them, and that's probably why you're seeing the higher classification for women there under, dementia. Now, research has suggested that regular exercise can be a factor in protecting you from dementia-type diseases. So the type of exercise really not that important to the researchers. They just said physical movement helps prevent brain shrinkage and protects your cognitive function. Now, one example was, walking for about 40 minutes a day. Researchers also mentioned that exercise helps the brain basically to, do multiple function activities, reduces stress and anxiety on it, which also reduces your likelihood of needing any drugs for that. So there are plenty of natural solutions to these types of problems, like getting sleep, improving, reducing your need for diabetic drugs, heart drugs, anxiety, and depression meds. If you're interested, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog. They have categories for all that I just read in their catalog. Just flip to the page. Or you can go to their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, and see for yourself how powerful you can be with the right tools, the right information. It's just an eye-opener for a lot of people that there's solutions right under their nose that are safer for them, healthier, and less expensive. So that's what it's empowering. That's why it's called The Power Herbs. See there? Oh, if you're on the website, check out the Books and Newsletters tab. Sign up for the newsletter. It's free. Also, the Power Herbs ebook is there. It's in digital format, so you can pick which format you want. You can pick PDF, iPad, or Kindle. And it's about a 400-page book. And, herb information is timeless. It's just an amazing thing. So, get empowered. If you want to, get into, use in natural medicine like God encourages us to do, this is a good starter book
you know. It'll introduce you to the power of God's medicines there. All right. It's just $14.99, you know. It's a deal. Deal and a half. All right. We got a few minutes, and we're going to talk about – I mentioned this the other week, and we didn't get to it. So it's been on my stack of stuff, if you will. And we're going to talk about – I get calls from time to time on this. It's called nail fungus. 18% of the world population, 35 million people, have nail fungus. The medical profession says that as we get older, we risk getting nail fungus. It increases. That's their excuse for everything. You know, as you get older, you're going to get this stuff. So by the time you reach 40, it's all over, folks. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. By the time you reach the age of 40, they say 25% of adults will have experienced some kind of nail fungus. Now, over half the senior citizens tend to have a little bit of this going on, but nail fungus isn't life-threatening. However, more people are concerned about fungus, especially toenail fungus. They just don't like it. Now, be aware that, you know, you want to stay away from those artificial fingernails that they put on you at the salon. I know they're supposed to put an antifungal agent under there, but, you know, it's no guarantee. Yeah, the nails and the nail bed near your cuticle, they need to breathe. And when you kind of glue on a synthetic fake nail, it can't breathe. It just can't. It's like you put a big plastic bag over it. So you don't want to do that because you can get a fungus and then your nails will most likely never grow in correctly. All right, we're going to talk about some of the causes. What tends to kick off this fungus problem, understanding the cause can help you avoid it and prevent it, hopefully, from coming back once you get rid of it. So fungus likes dark, warm places, which makes the feet typically a prime target, you know, in your socks and shoes. So frequently, you know, if you're in spas or you're working out in places that have a lot of damp, warm moisture, that kind of environment, it encourages fungus and creates it increases your risk of getting it. So unsanitary conditions, unsanitized or unsterilized pools and spas and locker rooms, if you're going, like I said, to a beauty parlor and they're not taking care of sanitation well, these are all conditions that can, you know, increase your risk of nail fungus. So the type of shoe that you wear can also play a role in selecting shoes that have more breathable material to them. And some medical professionals believe that nail fungus can be inherited or attributed to poor health and hygiene. So if you suffer from, let's say, ingrown toenails, this can lead to an accumulation of debris under your nail bed. And ingrown nails are painful. They tend to be harder to maintain, and wearing socks and shoes tend to trap a lot of moisture in and can lead to fungus infection. So medical professionals also caution not to share nail grooming tools like emery boards and nail clippers and things like that, because you can transfer infection that way. So if you get toenail fungus, it's your basic fungi organism, which is similar to, you know, fungi, mold, dew. Dermatologists and podiatrists call this particular nail fungus dermatophthalitis because it likes to feed on the protein in your nail bed, the keratin. So the way that dermatologists talk about this is this type of fungus thrives sort of similar to a tapeworm, which robs the host nutrition and starves it. So in the case of nail fungus, it starves your toenails of protein. And then when the nails are robbed of the protein, they become dry and brittle. They may rise up off the nail, the toe itself, and become thick and irregular. And if you try to trim them, they kind of crumble. So can be extremely uncomfortable. If you bump them or anything, it's very painful because they're just attached down at the cuticle. And so it's really easy to lift them, and that's not cool at all. Also, you want to avoid some of the medical treatments. They do have, you know, drugs that supposedly work in some of the cases, but you do risk
you do risk your liver, unfortunately. The Sporex has been known to cause irreversible hepatitis complications and even complete liver failure. So modern medicine explains that the reason for the liver failure is not understood. So you want to do your homework on anything like that to treat. But you know how I do. I do the natural thing. Yep. I use herbs to kill the fungus and then herbs to rebuild up the protein and the tissue under the nail. And it's not an overnight thing, I will admit. It does take a while because you know how long it takes your toenail to grow back? It takes a full year. So you're going to work with it a little bit, but it's safer than the medication that could, you know, put you on the liver transplant list. So let's weigh that. Work with my toenails for 6 to 8 months or liver transplant. I'm going to go with working with the toenails for a little bit here. So if you're looking for the products on the website, you want to do 3 things. You want to get some garlic juice. So you will look for the garlic. And it's antifungal. It's antiviral and bacterial, too. So it's going to, like, kind of clean the slate a little bit there. And then I like to use a little black walnut. It'll stain, so be aware of that. But it's also got natural iodine in it. And fungus and parasites don't like that. So, bam, they're gone too. And then the final thing is I like to use the plants that build up tissue and connective tissue, nail and tendons and bones and stuff. And so that's the calcium formula. So those are the 3 things I use to reverse the nail fungus thing. And it does take a while. So be aware of that. And it's something you apply each and every day. And then you wait for the nail to grow out, and it grows, and it starts to feel better and stronger down at the base, and then it starts to grow out flatter and flatter and flatter. So it takes a little while, but, you know, I think it's worth it. I really do. It sidesteps surgery. It sidesteps drugs, which are all risky, and we're using God's medicine like he said to do. So that's what we're going to do. So if you have any questions about nail fungus, give me a call at the office. I'll be in. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless, and it puts the power in your hands. That's what it's about. Feel empowered. I like it. Feel better, feel empowered, basic is better, all that good stuff. I can see by the clock I'm out of time. Don't forget, sign up for your newsletters. They're free, and be empowered each week. ThePowerHerbs.com, and get a Power Herbs ebook, $14.99, 400 pages of knowledge. That's a deal. I gotta go. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before you seek any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well. Yeah.